Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week of teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith. This is a teaching that I've had out for decades. I've actually had a book on this for many years, but we just have re-released it. The previous book was a hardback copy of Living in the Balance of Grace and the Faith. Now this is a paperback copy. I never did like that picture on there. So anyway, we've re-released it in a paperback edition with a different cover on it. And I tell you, this is a powerful, powerful teaching. I pray that this week the Lord has been opening up your heart, because I've been talking about some things that every person needs, and yet very seldom do they really think about all of this. You know, again, I don't mean this to be critical, but I think that there are a lot of things in the body of Christ that are wrong. And one of them is that the average person is just looking for something that is a feel-good, a little encouragement here and there, but they don't want to go very deep. They don't want to deal with some basic issues, and because of it, they're just living on a very superficial level. And some of the things that I've been talking about, grace and faith, these are theological terms, and sometimes people don't want to get into it this much. But I tell you, it's important that you understand this. This has changed my life, the understanding of the relationship between grace and faith. Grace is what God does for us. Faith is what we do. Today is going to be my last day to deal with the first part of this teaching, and I've entitled this first CD in our album here on Grace and Faith. It's entitled The Sovereignty of God, or Grace and the Sovereignty of God, and it's comparing this. For those of you who've been watching all week, I used Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." And I've been explaining what grace is. Next week, I'm going to start explaining in more detail what faith is. But I've been teaching against a wrong interpretation or an extreme interpretation of grace all of this week. And I think that this has done a huge amount of damage in the body of Christ. And I've spoken a lot against the sovereignty of God as it is taught in most churches today. And if you missed any of that, some of you may be offended that I would even say something like that. But you need to get this teaching, because I believe that this is one of the greatest faith killers in the body of Christ. It's just this extreme teaching that God controls every single thing and nothing can happen without God's permission. Even if the devil does something, then God had to have allowed it. That teaching is a killer. I know that. It nearly killed me. You know, when I got turned on to the Lord, this was the dominant teaching. And again, they didn't teach it completely. It wasn't totally consistent. It was confusing, because they would say that God controls everything, and then you'd talk about something like what Hitler did, and they say, "Oh no, God didn't control that." Well, what about somebody who murdered another? "Oh no, God wouldn't do that." "Well, I thought you said God controls everything." It was inconsistent. It was kind of based on their own private interpretation of it. But anyway, this is what I was raised under. And because of it, I tell you, Satan just nearly destroyed my life. And he did destroy some people around me. As a matter of fact, I had this girl that I was unofficially engaged to. This is right before I went to Vietnam. And I went to a meeting and I heard a man teach a lesson entitled "Satan is God's Messenger Boy." And the thrust of what he was teaching was that even if the devil is fighting you, if it's demonic and if you know it's the devil can't do anything without, first of all, getting God's permission. So even if it's the devil that's bothering you, God has him on a leash and God only let him go so far. So if it's the devil bothering you, ultimately God's the one who's trying to get your attention and do something in your life. Now that is wrong. That is absolutely wrong, but that's what I was taught. And I brought that series back. This was a long time ago. This was back before they had cassette tapes. It was on reel-to-reel tapes. And I brought that series back, and I gave it to this girl that I was engaged to, and she listened to it. And on that teaching, there was a guy, or the preacher, used an illustration and said that there was a young man in a school who was such an introvert, he just had trouble speaking to people about the Lord, but he really did love the Lord and he wanted to be used. And so he prayed a prayer and said, God, if the only way that I can witness to the people on my football team is by me getting some kind of an incurable disease and dying and showing that I'm not afraid of death, well, then I ask you to give me an incurable disease. And he prayed that. The next morning, he came down with leukemia, and sure enough, he died, and at his funeral, four people were born again. I took that teaching. I brought it back to this girl and gave it to her. Did you know she listened to that? And she prayed that same prayer and asked God to give her an incurable disease. The next day, she passed out, was taken to the hospital, diagnosed with acute leukemia, and she died. And I was with her when she died, and she actually hemorrhaged and choked, strangled on her own blood. We prayed for over 2 hours for her to be raised from the dead, and yet she wasn't raised from the dead. And at her funeral, there were four people that got born again. And you know how that happened? God didn't do that. God didn't give that girl leukemia. God didn't do that. That is not God's will. He's already forgiven us and healed us of all of our diseases. That is not God who's doing those things. But we have an enemy out there. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And when Satan finds somebody who's under this wrong teaching about the sovereignty of God and that God controls everything and that even the devil has to get permission and can only do what God wants him to do, therefore, the devil is actually one of the servants of the Lord. I've heard people use that terminology. If you believe that kind of stuff and then you pray a prayer and say, God, give me a cancer if it glorifies you, boy, the devil pounces on that like a chicken on a June bug. I guarantee you, he will take advantage of something like that. You know, I wasn't a bad person. This girl that died wasn't a bad person. We loved God. But just being a good person and sincere is not enough. You have to know the truth, and it's the truth that'll set you free. And I'm telling you the truth that God does not control all of these things. And you can pray stupid prayers that will actually open up the door to the devil and let him come in and destroy your life. You make decisions that allow things to happen. Either allow God to have his way or the devil to have his way. God does not just control everything. And I know this firsthand. There are people dying because of that kind of doctrine. And then after I got back out of Vietnam, this is like 3 years later, I was still being taught those same things. And the man who made that teaching about Satan as God's messenger boy actually came to our church and he taught a lesson. This is 3 years later. This is after Jamie and I had been engaged. We were just getting married. We had already been for our blood test. And it turned out that I had yellow jaundice. And they said that I had to be bedfast for, I forgot what it was, 6 weeks or something like that. And that was going to be past the time that we were going to get married. I was pouring concrete for a living and I wasn't about to just quit and lay down and do nothing for 6 weeks. And they said, if you don't do that, you could die. That normally isn't life-threatening. Rest, you just get over it. But if you don't rest, it could literally kill you. And on top of all of these things, I'm hurrying through this, but I'd had two dreams, and in these two dreams, they were demonic. I mean, they caused tremendous fear. I was physically attacked in these dreams. And I had just rebuked them and said, that's the devil, and I wasn't going to receive this. And then a few weeks later, I was 300 and something miles away from my home in a Dairy Queen, in a place I'd never been before in my life. And a woman walks up to me and he says, God speaks once, yea, twice, in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon man. It was a quotation from the book of Job. And she says, you thought those two dreams were of the devil, but they're from God. And man, I mean, all of the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I thought, oh no, those terrible dreams I had, those things were from God. And then I went to get my marriage license, and they diagnosed me with this yellow jaundice. And they said if I didn't lay down, I could go into a coma, I could possibly die. And on top of that, the guy who preached that God puts things on you, Satan is God's messenger boy, was at our church holding this meeting and teaching that all of these trials and hurts and pains are God dealing with you. And he specifically zeroed in on me and started talking to me. And he says, God is going to put you into a coma. You are going to be in a coma for 8 years. You're going to be in a vegetative state. And you're going to be doing all of these things. And did you know I was submitting unto that because of this wrong teaching about it's just whatever to God. We have nothing to do. We can't accept or reject or nothing. It's just anything that happens, even the devil, it's all God's plan. I was submitting unto that stuff. And I remember Jamie and I, this is just a few days before our wedding. We went out to eat with this preacher and the pastor of the church and about 10 of my friends. There's probably 15 people sitting in a special room in a restaurant. And this preacher who was preaching all of these things was just zeroing in on me about I was going to be in a coma and this was God's will and God controls all of these things. And you know what? I was submitting to it and I was saying, if that's God's will, I'll receive it. But then the devil just took one. I mean, if he'd have stopped right there, you'd have never seen me on television. I'd have never touched your life. I wouldn't be alive today. But the devil had me on the ropes and he just couldn't stop. He went one step too far. And this guy who was preaching to me about all this stuff said that God had put him on a fast from the Bible for 8 years. That for 8 years, the Lord wouldn't let him open up the Bible and read it or study or do any of those things. The only time he could open the Bible was when he was preaching. And God had put him on a fast from the Word of God for 8 years. Now, I didn't know much, but man, I knew that was wrong. I knew that the Word of God is life unto me and health to my flesh. I know that Jesus is the Word and that God would never cut off my relationship with Jesus through the Word of God. I didn't know much, but I knew that was wrong. And I remember he was just saying that you aren't going to get into the Word. God's not going to speak to you. He won't open the Word. I was willing to become a vegetable. I was willing to have the devil do all kinds of things to me. But when he told me that God would shut the Word to me and that God wouldn't fellowship with me and have any relationship with me, I remember standing up. I was 23 years old and I stood up in front of the pastor of the church, in front of the visiting pastor, in front of all of my friends, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but this is of the devil. I said, God would not do that. God will never close the Word to me. And I rebuked this and I said, I renounce it all. I reject every bit of this stuff. I knew that was wrong and I didn't know how much of the rest was right. And so I just decided to reject it all. And Jamie and I got up, joined hands, and we walked out of there and walked out of that church. And you know what? We had people say that we were of the devil and we were resisting God. But I tell you what, that's one of the smartest things I ever did. I nearly had Satan destroy me. There are many of you that are just accepting whatever comes down the pipe as being, well, this is God. And yet it's not. God's plans for you, it's again, just like John chapter 10, verse 10 says, that Jesus came to give us life and to give it to us more abundantly. It's like it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some translations, I think the NIV says, a hope and a future. God has good plans for you. God isn't the one that's messing up your life. There are some of you that are facing physical problems right now and you're just saying, oh God, why did you let this happen? God doesn't control that. I know people that are grossly overweight and have all kinds of problems in their body, and they say, why is God doing this to me? God doesn't do that to you. But there's consequences to you carrying around an extra 200 pounds or something like that. God's not the one who makes your back hurt or your legs hurt. There's consequences to things. Man, it'll set you free if you understand that God doesn't just sovereignly control every single thing that goes on. You have choices. Sometimes you make poor choices. Sometimes it has nothing to do with your choices, but we live in a fallen world. You know, we just had Leland Shores, one of the directors of our Bible college in Uganda, die in June the 23rd. And we've put a tribute on our website to Leland and how that this man, in just a brief 11-year period of time since he really committed his life to the Lord, saw an entire nation shook by the power of God. And we put a tribute on there. And I think it's just wonderful. I'm really proud to have been associated with Leland Shores and all the things that he did. But I have been shocked that we've had a number, I mean, not just one or two, we've had a number of emails and people saying, how could this happen? He was serving the Lord. And one woman that in particular was saying, now I don't know if I can believe God for anything. My faith in God, everything is shaken because Leland Shores died at 49 years old. I don't even think that way. I honestly wouldn't even dignify that kind of a response with some kind of an explanation if it hadn't been a lot of people that have done this. But here's the thing. See, people who are responding that way believe that God just sovereignly controls everything. And that if you're serving Him, then God should sovereignly make everything work out in your life. And if something goes wrong, like a person dying prematurely, well, then that person must have either had gross sin hidden in their life or did something terribly wrong, but they just look at it as somehow or another a huge failure on our part. Now, that is absolutely wrong. And that's the only reason that people have that kind of an attitude is because they have this extreme misinterpretation of the sovereignty of God. Now, I will say this, that if Leland had been perfect, and if he was just perfect in every single thing and never had a thought that wasn't exactly the way that God wanted him to be, well, then maybe he could have seen this coming and he could have overcome whatever it is that caused him to die. And if we were all perfect, then I believe that, yes, we might be able to walk through life with many less problems than what we've got. But none of us are perfect. Leland would make mistakes. And I don't think it's a criticism of a person who dies. If I was to die tomorrow, I don't believe that that's God's will for me. But you know what? It's the way I look at it is like a soldier that's out on the front lines. And maybe if he was just the perfect soldier and he never relaxed and never just, you know, quit thinking about the battle and just relaxed for one moment, well, then maybe he could have seen the enemy coming and he could have stopped the attack. But just because a person is on the front lines and they relax for one moment, stick their head up above the bunker and they get shot and killed, does that mean that they're a bad person? Does that mean that something terrible happened? No, you're on the front lines. And man, that person would get a medal posthumously. You would be rewarded and honored and looked at as a hero that gave their life for something. See, this whole thing that I'm talking about, this extreme sovereignty of God to where God just controls everything and that you have nothing to do with it is contrary to the Word of God. It leads people to death. It leads people into fear. It leads people into thinking that if you have a problem in your life, why did God allow this? God doesn't allow it. I don't know exactly why Leland died. I don't understand. There is some confusion about exactly what it was that even caused him to die. But I can tell you this. He was a man who wasn't perfect, but he was giving it all he had. And in my book, Leland Shores is a hero. A man who gave his life, who moved to a country, said he would live and die in Uganda. And he did. And he gave his life reaching out and sharing the gospel with other people. And I think he's somebody to be honored and to be respected. These are the people that we ought to look up to. And man, that doesn't shake my faith in God at all. It just reinforces to me that we're in a battle and that Satan is trying to destroy us. And if you let down your guard for just a moment, we have an adversary that's going about seeking whom he may devour. It's encouraged me to tell all of the other directors of our Bible schools that, you know what, you need to be strong in your faith. You need to walk in health. You need to speak over things. Don't let sickness operate in your body. Don't be passive towards anything, because it just reminds me that, you know, Satan is trying to stop the things that we're doing. So I really encourage you to take these things, just the introductory things that I've been saying about grace and faith, and specifically this week, I've been trying to counter this extreme wrong application and understanding of grace into God just controls everything. That is not true. God has a plan independent of you. That's grace. But you know what? You have every choice about whether God's grace comes to pass or whether Satan's devious plans come to pass in your life. You're the one that establishes this. God's plans for you are only good, thoughts of peace, and not of evil. Satan's plans for you are to steal, kill, and to destroy. You got these two forces working over you constantly. Today, they are going to be coming against you from every side. But the good news is, you're the deciding factor. You get to choose. And if you choose God, if you respond positively to what God's plans for you are, then that's putting faith in God's grace, and that will release the power of God in your life. But if you respond negatively to God's plan, you get coerced over here, intimidated by the devil, led astray by wanting to be fitting in with everybody else or whatever, and if you choose to act contrary to God's plans for your life, it doesn't change God's grace. It's the same. He doesn't get mad at you. He still loves you. But you will not release the power that's in His grace unless you cooperate with it through faith. You have to learn to respond to God positively. And that's what I'm going to start talking about next week. This week, I've basically just been trying to show that you've got to mix grace and faith together. You can't go to an extreme on grace. You can't go to an extreme on faith. There is a balance between grace and faith. And this week, I've been just countering the abuses of grace. And you know what? That is very, very important that you understand this. This teaching that I've got, I really want to encourage you to get this. This book, honestly, if you're only going to get one of the things that I teach, this would be a good thing to get. I think that this could revolutionize your life. It could give you understanding of what is God's part and what is your part. And I tell you, this is where a lot of people are missing it. So we have it in this new paperback. We have a hardback copy. We have a study guide. And this is over 250 pages, I think it is. And actually on the inside of it, there is a CD-ROM that you can actually print out the questions and things so that you can disciple other people in this, and it would really bless you. Then we have CDs, DVDs, and a series that was taken directly from television. And I tell you, this teaching would help you.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled Grace and the Sovereignty of God, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
On this Alabama road in 2008, the life of Pastor Keith Williams came to a sudden stop. While riding an ATV, Williams was inexplicably catapulted and crushed beneath 600 pounds of tumbling metal. Left lying on the asphalt, badly bleeding and fatally injured, Williams was put aboard a MedFlight helicopter and transported 45 miles to the ER at Huntsville Hospital. It was then discovered broken ribs had pierced his lungs, and due to severe brain damage, Keith Williams had lapsed into a coma with no earthly hope of recovery. Keith's family rushed to Huntsville only to be met with a grim diagnosis.
They brought us in to the consultation room and gave us the first report that he's probably not going to make it through the night.
The surgeon told my mom and all of us to go in there and say our goodbyes.
I just prayed the whole time and just was resting in everything that I had read, everything that I had just even recently heard Andrew talk about on TV about the believer's authority.
One of the most common mistakes that Christians make is that they don't understand the authority that God has given them.
And I had known who I was in Christ and what Jesus had done, what he'd paid for, and that everything that I need and anybody in my family needs for healing is already ours.
Angel and the boys stood by Keith and stood on the truths Angel had gleaned regarding her authority as a believer.
And so I took that authority. And in Jesus' name, I said, no, you're not done yet.
It wasn't Dad's time to go. We weren't going to let him go.
No, in Jesus' name, these are just facts. This is not the truth. What's real is what Jesus has provided.
The Williams family withstood every negative report for 7 long days and nights, while Keith continued to confound the hospital staff with his miraculous survival, until one day.
I believe it was a Sunday morning. He just sat up out of intensive care in the bed and decided to pull all his tubes out himself.
When I woke up, I sat up in bed and I started pulling tubes out of me. All the nurse staff and the doctors there, they did not like that.
Within just a few days, he was up with a walker and walking around and just ready to go home.
Every day he got better and progressed better and up walking around and doctors coming in there consistently telling us how he should not even be where he's at right now. He was moving. He would grab your hand and all these things that he was not supposed to do.
They had never seen anything like it. They'd never seen anybody recover that quickly. The nurses just could not understand the rapidness of his recovery. She said, this is absolutely what people would call a miracle.
And a week later, we brought him home.
On the 19th morning, his doctor came in my little room and said, you might as well go home. We don't understand this, and there's really nothing else. You're not hurt anymore. And he stuck out his hand. He shook hands. He said, Mr. Williams, I hope we never see you again. You can go home now.
For more information on this story and many others, go to awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and take a healing journey with Keith and Angel Williams.